Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It is 9:09 at KISS 98.5. Excited to welcome to the show Dr. Anthony Rao. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Janet, Nick, how are you today?
Really
it's
good.
It's Friday. I was just saying, you know, as we're going through everything and in New York, still a little gray in terms of how soon we go from phase one to phase two. When does life even move more towards normal? So mindset is like that. And I was just reading an article, and maybe you can comment on this, about emotional responses of the parents and how it affects our children.
Terrific place to start, because everything you do will, like a viral contagion, if it's emotional, will go right to your kids. You know, your body posture, your voice, the stress in your words, how fast you speak, the seriousness in your eyes, all of that gets automatically communicated to everybody in the room, and your kids pick it up. It's literally like, well, they're like little barometers. They're going to pick it up. They're going to absorb the stress and anxiety. It's going to show out usually in bad behavior or social isolation.
So tell me a little bit more about this. So research shows the resilience children have is influenced not only by the adversity itself and what we're going through right now, but the response of the parents. And so it seems very important that we all, as parents, check ourselves. And because really how our kids are acting, we need to look at ourselves in the mirror. Is that correct?
I love that. Check ourselves. And in fact, you're number one for a long time to come. Even when your kids kick you to the curb when you're a teen, you know, you know, during those teenage years, you are the biggest influence. So everything you do matters. Model for them a growth mindset, which is, hey, look, it's going to be tough. I'm going to make mistakes. I just have to factor that in, but I'm going to stay calm and measured, and I can make mistakes along the way as long as I learn.
Doctor, so are we supposed to mask our feelings in front of the kids? Or what if you're a person who just reacts to stuff a lot and maybe you don't want the kids to pick it up? How would you talk to the parent and say, maybe don't express 100% of your feelings in front of the kids? Like, how do you balance that?
Yeah, another great question, Nick. The best rule of thumb here is be honest. Be real, because they can pick it up when it's not. And if you're not, that's a lot worse. So you can sort of put a little sort of optimism on it. But if you find yourself either wearing your heart on your sleeve too much, you've got some work to do not to be overly reactive or overly optimistic. So you got to kind of get your game going that way as a parent. But don't fake it.
So do you start with facts and then talk about feelings? Is that a good way to balance the conversation?
If kids are emotional, start with the feelings and just validate them. Hey, I can see you're upset, and then give it time. Let's get ourselves calm. Let's talk about it later. Then we go to the facts. Otherwise, you find a quiet moment. By all means, hey, here's some things that we do know, and let's have a sit down and talk about it. And I want to know your thoughts. You know, once kids reach 9, 10, certainly 11 and up, they have access to this ability to think more critically. We need to start asking them, hey, what do you think? What do other kids you know think?
What about the family? Because I have literally in my friend circle of people that I love, everybody is tackling the coronavirus pandemic in a different way. Some are to the extreme where family members aren't allowed to leave the house, socialize with anybody. And then other families are a little bit looser with it, are having socially distant gatherings, and are a little bit looser with the rules. How do you tell your kids about why our rules are the ones that we're going to follow in our house?
You can say, look, you know, everyone's different, right? Look at, you know, height, hair color, weight, skin color. Like, we're all different. We all like different things. These differences were in place before before Corona hit. So basically, you're going to see some of them be a little bit stronger. So people are a little bit more worried, a little fearful, apprehensive. They're probably not going to want to social distance as fast as the other people that, wow, those people over there, they seem to always be the go-getters. They're always out. They always are trying new things. We have to decide as a family, like, where are we all comfortable and maybe match up a little bit more with people that are at our level.
What about an emotional dictionary so that, like, kids and parents can have the same words to use? Like, you know, I feel like sometimes kids don't know their feelings and they're just like, you know, a bundle of nerves or really quiet or aggressive. And if you come up with words that you can use, you're all talking in the same conversation.
Yeah, this is great. This is pretty big stuff now. It's called emotional granularity, which is if you can really find the right word to the emotion anyone's feeling, it could be your kid, it can be you, you have better access to understand what it is and do something with it. But we tend to rely on just, I'm bored, I'm angry, I'm afraid, and those aren't enough. Right. Or I'm down, I'm sad, I'm bummed. And what they say is, like, take some time. Maybe you're more regretful. Maybe you're more mournful. Maybe you're feeling guilt. Maybe it's something different. Once you get the right word on it. So with your kids, you can sit there and say, well, let's see, what are other words for this? You can pull out the thesaurus. And then their intelligent brain, that thinking part of their brain versus the emotional, starts to go to work and starts to calm their system down because now they're looking and searching for the right label.
I was thinking with the kids, we watch a movie with them called Inside Out, which is about feelings. And for little kids, it kind of helps them get those words to describe the feelings. But what's the word you used? Emotional granularity?
Granularity. Like a grain of sand. Emotional, okay. Granularity. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool that we're talking about emotions and everything. And then I think about our radio station and the power of music. And music is a great way for kids to connect with their emotions. Do you think it's just the way music reaches deeper into your soul that it helps?
It does. Absolutely. It goes right to the emotional centers. If you think about it, before humans invented language, guess what they had? They had sounds and music and tones, and they created those types of patterns. So it's about as basic and human as a thing we have, and it goes right to the core. And even when you're feeling sad, if you hear something sad or a song that's sad, it actually helps to make you not feel alone, or it can boost your spirits, but it absolutely does. I mean, I think the role of music is completely misunderstood and is not emphasized enough. You know, people should be thinking about what kinds of good music can we have a little bit in the house, and not just everybody on their own ear pod, but just sort of sometimes have that calming, relaxing, or positive, upbeat background music that doesn't interfere every now and then.
I feel like it does change the vibe of the house when I turn music on, whether or not the kids like my choices of music.
Well, not everyone's into Norwegian death metal, so, you know, we're not all on the same page, Jan, but...
Yeah, but I do. I feel like there's this emotional shift when I put music on, like, one of my smart speakers, and it's just playing, and then all of a sudden they start to notice it. I do feel like there's an emotional shift with it, and I think sometimes we need that.
Yeah, and it pulls you out of your head, you know, so you're not there ruminating or just in some sort of private space, but you're hearing something else that touches you deeply, communicates something, and it kind of like lets you drift off back to something that's often a better memory.
We're on the phone this morning with Dr. Anthony Rao, a nationally known child psychologist. I want to bring up something that our company, and I think a lot of other companies, are beginning to do, and that's to be offering some kind of, you know, if you need to talk to a doctor about how you're feeling and what they're offering. With companies making that available to everybody, what are the words that, like, you know, that you don't, like, you know, you might want to talk to somebody, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, like it's all too much. What would, like, the starting point words be for somebody if there's, like, a helpline you can use, a teledoc that you can call to talk to a psychologist or somebody like that to begin a conversation? Because I think some people don't do it because they don't know what to say.
I hadn't thought of it that way. That's a really good point, that can keep them from actually making that call when they want to. And basically, you want to start with, I'm normal, I'm having a really unusual reaction to something strange going on, I am not alone. You got to believe that first, then you pick up the phone or you do the text and you connect. And then once you're there, you hear another person and you start that process, it should on its own unfold. But I think you're right. You have to sort of frame this thing first as, you know, I don't know, maybe it's something, I'm not sleeping as well, or I find my mind wandering, I'm distracted, I'm more irritable with the people I love, you know, I think I'm headed for divorce, something like that.
How do you, like, what's the trigger? How do you know when it's time to actually make the call? Is there a kind of a tipping point that you've recognized with people?
And what I tell people is, if you're wondering, you're probably there. You know, if you're really wondering, it means that you sort of gone into some other level of functioning or poorer adaptation temporarily that's making you question it. I would go earlier rather than later. But what we tend to do is we tend to ignore, and then it's really hard. You know, all of these are normal, healthy reactions to an ongoing stressor. And if you catch them earlier, they don't have to become clinical symptoms. But if you ignore them, they then become habits. They become long-term, and they tend to get more rooted in your everyday behavior.
Just pack those emotions back in the box.
Hope they never show their face again. In terms of the world of telemedicine, because that's not going away, that will be, in so many cases, the future. Do you have any advice for people using telemedicine for behavioral health?
You know, I think you could start with a phone call versus the tele part, you know. The visual part, like, on the surface sounds like, oh, this is great because you can see a person, you can read more of their emotions by watching them, and that's true. But I think going to a simpler way, if you're a little bit apprehensive of putting yourself out there and having to visually meet a brand new person through telehealth, but by all means, it seems to be working. Finally, the research is starting to, like, be done on this because nobody wanted to do it this way. And there's some distinct advantages for some people who actually don't want to get up and commute someplace or have to go through an office clinic. They can actually do this from the comfort of their own space in their own home where they're already more relaxed. They may be more truthful and honest. So there's, you know, my guess is there'll be evidence that it has some pros and cons, but that there's a lot more pros that we never realized.
On the phone this morning with Dr. Anthony Rao, he's fixing everything for us. So we had this survey out on life's little wins. And one of the things that surprised me of these are like the little wins that we love the most. And at number 10 was receiving a compliment from a stranger. And I feel like we're all craving, you know, just niceness.
We're so not attached anymore. This the social distancing goes against the grain of ourselves socially, and it's in our DNA. And then we're out there, and we've got either masks on or our heads are down, and we're navigating around each other in awkward ways. Everyone's more suspicious and ready to bite into each other if they walk in the wrong line. And because of all that, we don't have those normal moments. I was just at a store the other day, mask and all, and a woman was at the fish counter too, and she's like, "Well, what do you do with those?" I go, "Those are scallops." I said, "You know, you put them in the pan and you do this." And she moved a little closer as an older woman, and we had this really nice interaction. I'm trying in my own little universe to smile more at people, even through the mask. I'm trying to just say hello from a distance. I'm using eye contact. And I think if we exaggerate a lot of that, we can make up for this weird social distance we have right now. But it is making people feel like I'm missing those little moments of just the nicety.
Yeah. Exactly. Dr. Rao, give us some homework this weekend of how we can be, like, mentally healthier.
Well, one thing I want to make sure that we leave with is we talk a lot about kids. We worry about kids a lot, teenagers, college kids, you know, in this country especially. It's a very child-centered kind of world we have in our families. But what I would say is think about if you're with someone, that couple relationship. That's really the core of your existence, your house, and who you are. And I'm worried now more about couples staying okay. So don't focus too much on the kids. You don't have to fit everything in. Don't feel guilty. Don't make everything up. Instead, just try to find some time to be with someone else if you're fortunate to have someone, and spend time with them and shore that up. I know that we're around each other a lot. We're irritable with each other a lot, but that doesn't mean that we're doing sort of moments of empathy and kindness with each other. I want those relationships to go better. A lot of people say that we may have had, you know, a baby boom coming up in a couple of months from this. I'm worried we're going to have a divorce boom.
Yeah, exactly. Because life gets challenging, and sometimes people don't know how to process the emotions of it all, you know?
That's right. And couples are used to having time together and then being apart, and we don't have that right now. And when the couples are apart, they want to be with their friends. They want to be with other positive, great people. And then they come back to the person they love and are with for their life. And we don't have that right now. So there's this like tension and strangeness because the other piece is missing.
Exactly. Great advice. Always nice talking to you. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Oh, you too. Have a great weekend, all.
All right. Dr. Anthony Rao on KISS 98.5, helping us manage everything we're going through in these crazy, crazy times. His book is absolutely incredible. And
The Power of Agency.
Yeah, The Power of Agency is just one of those kind of life guides. I think you might get some value from it.
He's a very calming voice. I mean, he's nice to listen to with all that, but the information that we get, and take a little bit of it and try and sort of lay it over your weekend. Like, if you can take some of that advice and work it to make you a better person, it's a win-win.
You know, it's so funny that he brought up about couples taking time to be with each other. My sister has had a house full, you know, her kids all gravitated back to her house because of the situations. And so everybody was living at home and she wasn't used to that. And she's like, she just said to me the other day, she's like, I just want to be home for like a weekend with my husband and just have it be us where we're just thinking about dinner for the two of us and not having it. It's a lot. Now, if your kids are living at home all the time, you almost have to kind of carve out a little after they go to bed date night or something like that, I think, just to manage the situation and make sure you do the checkup on each other, which I think is good.
Living it.
Living it. Living the dream.
Living it.
Living it. 9:23. Thanks for tuning in this morning. You're waking up with KISS 98.5.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.